In this episode, we're going to fire up salespeople to drive towards their revenue goal.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey-o. All right. A fun episode about to start for you. I've got my main man, Dan Lear, national keynote speaker extraordinaire, sales guru in the studio. What is up?
I'm on fire. I'm happy to be here.
Right?
Matter of fact, the last time we did a podcast, we were on the beach feeling the vibes. Mm.
It is all downhill, right?
That's right.
My feet were in the sand.
Yes.
People were walking by. They were filming us.
Yes.
And now we're here, right?
It's ready to go. It's a new year.
Look, it's not only a new year, but a great opportunity for salespeople. Everybody is in the sales business. A lot of marketers pretend they aren't in the sales business, but they are. And in a conversation yesterday with a client, I revealed that I actually think my job as a marketing CEO is to set the sales team up for success. And a lot of marketers don't look at it that way, right?
I think you're right. I mean, I think that when you scale it back to start at the foundational level, the marketer has to assume the position of a sales professional.
Right.
I mean, I just did a keynote just this morning here in Phoenix. And I said, by a show of hands, how many people are in sales? And these were all the account managers, all the regional managers, all the GMs, and only half of them literally raised their hand.
Wow.
But no matter who you are, it's really about the mindset
going
into the deal, just like you said.
You know, I actually think that when we meet with a company and we're talking with them about the marketing assets, one of the first questions we ask is, who's your best salesperson? And they're like, well, what does that have to do with anything? And we're like, well, that's the person that's already optimized the sales process. We should probably start by talking to them.
Right. That's a good point.
Now, as a sales guru, and you've been that for like, you know, 20 years or something, advising businesses, I think you did 50 plus keynote speeches last year.
Yep.
If I have been following you, I've been counting every time. Hey, there he is. Right? He's in Philadelphia. He's in Chicago, right? In Vegas. What is it that makes let's start at the very foundation. What is it that makes a salesperson a great salesperson?
That's a great question. And a lot of people always go to skill set. You know, I don't know how to close, or, you know, maybe I'm not a great, or I am, I'm great at building rapport. I'm great at closing. Yet the reality is it starts at the foundational level with your mindset about who you believe you are. You know, if you feel like, you know, as a sales professional, I'm an average salesperson. Or if you put a monetary value to it, I'm a $100,000 salesperson, whatever it is, then that's exactly what you are. But we find the top salespeople, the top performing, the cutting edge sales professionals have a belief system that drives them past the other performers. You know, they believe I'm a $500,000 money earner. I am the best sales performer in the country. Mm-hmm. They have those beliefs because, as you know, beliefs drive your behavior.
Right.
You cannot get yourself to do something you don't believe is possible. So if you're walking into a deal and, you know, you're hoping you get the deal, or, you know, I've gone 0-3, it's my time. And, you know, that's the wrong way to approach it. Yep. And that's why most people never get to their next level. It starts with their mindset.
Now, in digital marketing, we're always looking at a campaign and optimizing its flow, everything through the process, kind of like a garden hose.
Right.
And as you get traffic to a page, you see that page isn't converting. You look at the garden hose, there's a gimp. You clear out that gimp, and then the traffic flows to the next spot all the way to conversion. But I'm willing to guess that that's very similar to a great salesperson. If they study their sales process, they study the body language, where they get pushback. Before they know it, they've optimized it so deals flow faster. Is that accurate?
I would say so. I mean, obviously, I'm not a marketer, so that language is not, you know, fresh to me, but yet I understand it. I would say that, yeah, that's absolutely true.
But you do that. Like, when you're working with somebody on their sales process, you are looking for where it stalls out.
Well, yeah, and I start by asking them questions about what they believe, you know, because you can tell by people's language patterns and how they speak of where their holdbacks are, where their speed bumps are, where their places where they get stuck. And so you can literally ask somebody, tell me what's going on in your territory or what's happening in your business. Tell me what's it going to take for you to get to this revenue level. And they'll always say something that really is a it's a limiting belief or a disempowering belief that holds them back. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, you know, this is great, but I'm in the wrong zip code, or I've got the wrong territory, right. Or, you know, my company doesn't do enough digital marketing. We don't have enough brand recognition, right. Whatever it is.
It's never ownership, right?
Only with the top people.
Right.
Only with the top people.
And so what is the logic that's going through the top person? They have belief. They have recognized that they're the one that's going to create the change.
It's hard to explain because it's intangible.
Okay.
Right. It's just like, you know, scaling it back and dumbing it down. It's just like the guy that we all used to know in high school and college that's dating all the beautiful women. And you're like, hey, Joe, how do you do that? And he's right. Like, what are you talking about? Look at me. Chicks love me.
Right.
It's that simple. It's their belief about who they are, you know, whether they were in an environment where they got fire hosed with positivity and they have this belief about themselves. Mm-hmm. But you've seen people that are sales professionals that don't look the part. They don't look like a power closer or a mm-hmm. multi-million dollar money earner, but their mindset says, I am the best in the world. And if I was the best, how do I walk? How do I talk? How do I set up my day? What kind of questions do I ask? And that's mm-hmm. what a top performer does.
And they do it consistently each and every day like a great athlete.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's what you believe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you believe that, you know, I know your wife is big into yoga and fitness. She doesn't have to think about going to the gym.
No.
It's what she does. It's right. who she is. Right. So because I'm a top sales professional, of course, I review my clients' needs and wants and challenges. I look for solutions. Of course, I introduce them to new products and services that can help them get to where they want to go because mm-hmm. I'm a top sales professional.
Are top salespeople less salesy and more consultative?
I would say so. I mean, yeah. I think that's kind of a myth as well, is that top salespeople are closers.
Right.
But that's not the truth. The top salespeople create more value.
Yeah.
And when you do the value proposition, you ask questions, you really don't have to close because you're leading them towards a solution to help their needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I never feel like I'm selling. I never feel icky or right. I'm pressuring anybody into doing something that they don't already know that right. they need.
Right. Right. Because it was on you, the sales professional, to educate them
right.
on how they can get there. You know, you're not creating what they want. They create what they want.
Right.
You show them and educate them on how to get there. And by the way, here's a solution.
When I'm doing it, I'm thinking, how do I transfer the information from my big, massive brain
right.
into their brain to get them to see that it's the what they're requesting has been solved and that's the solution. But all I'm really doing is listening.
Yes.
And then helping to solve what that problem is.
That's exactly right. I mean, right. if you look at top sales professionals, they typically ask questions and they're effective listeners. Mediocre sales professionals are great talkers.
I see.
And talk about who they are, what they can do, what they've done, who they know, see my picture with so-and-so. Superstar sales performers are asking questions about your business. Tell me about your business, Todd. Mm-hmm. Where are you right now? What's your biggest frustration? What's it going to take for you to get to here next year in revenue?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm right in now in the process of training 3 salespeople.
Right.
2 account managers that are going to be selling, and a junior salesperson that is on their own time frame when they mature from being a support
right.
to being out on their own, right?
Right.
And I'm running them each day through my own thought logic sequence. When I am with a client, here are the questions.
Right.
This is the way I set up the beginning of the conversation, how I'm just finding out what their problems, their frustrations, their needs are. And as I'm writing them down in my head, I'm thinking of my full Tom Brady playbook.
Right.
And which plays I need to run in order for me to address their needs and solve their problems. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm in the sales game.
Right.
You know, we have a sales platform that we've developed that's over $250,000 of hard-earned money. And that sales platform is useless.
This is Crusher Quotas.
Crusherquota.com. Yeah, I mean, everybody wants sales performance. And so how do you get people on my sales platform is by asking them questions
yeah.
about their sales effectiveness, their sales team,
yeah.
and their sales strategy. And when we go in and ask people questions, tell me about your sales training program.
Right.
Tell me about your formal sales training program. Oh, we don't have one.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me how that looks. Start asking them questions. Geez, you're only closing on 18% of your walk-in leads.
Right.
What do you think that's costing you in advertising
right.
dollars?
Right.
So I haven't talked anything about training.
Right.
I'm asking them questions about their business because they know their business.
And also while you're asking them questions, you're getting all the information you need to make smart tactical recommendations for them.
Correct. You know, some people call that value-based selling.
Right.
Right? Value-based selling. If you find out what their values are and you give them what they want, they typically say yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've been through a lot of the members of the team, as you know, the crushyourquota.com system. I know we're believers. You have a couple of disciples that are walking around inside of our office.
They're on fire every day.
They're on fire. and this company's been growing. We've been growing tremendously, maybe 60% year on top of year. And it's a lot of the philosophies that we attribute back to you and the way that we structure ourselves. Can you give somebody, a listener to this podcast, an idea of how crushyourquota.com can impact them as a salesperson and their overall business goals?
Yeah, great question. So my background is I came up through the Tony Robbins school. So I worked with him for 6 straight years in the environment where every single day we were talking about success and living and breathing excellence and all those things that they do.
I saw the funniest video of you and Tony Robbins from, like, I don't know, 25 years ago, and there's a Brinks truck being pulled up and him handing cash to you.
Yep.
That's I'd have that thing on loop. I just have that thing on loop, man.
Oh, man.
He's just going like this. I don't know if they're hundreds or they're ones or they're pesos, but there's a lot of whatever being handed to you.
Yeah, that was a fun time. That was the second year I worked with him. My sales team was a big part of leading the company and the revenue they've never created before. He was so excited. He brought in a Brinks truck and gave out, I think he said, $500,000 in cash.
Wow.
Between all of the, because everybody was there, the whole team.
Because
we were on the road and we didn't see everybody. We were out there working. And so what I was getting at is that when you're in that environment where you're living and breathing success, you're talking about success, you're hanging around people who are successful, you start thinking differently, you start acting differently. So the power behind crushyourquota.com is it's virtual, it's me. I mean, first of all, Todd, if you don't like me, you're not going to like this platform, right? It's me 24/7 on high definition, quality, live type videos where you're getting 3-minute chunks of information. We've got a whole sales structure, the eight modules of the sale, all the way from their psychology, which is huge, all the way down to getting referrals. And then we've got a personal development section where it's talking about how to overcome negative people, setting goals, all those type of things. And so what happens is when people dial into the system, I shouldn't say dial in, that's my slang term.
Yeah.
But when they log into the system, they are involved in a process to where every single day they're listening and clicking on hearing my live talks about building value, overcoming objections, using different alignment strategies. And pretty soon, over time, you start to understand that you hear that in your head. Mm-hmm. It's like listening to a song over and over. Pretty soon you know the words. It's unconscious competence. So the power of being dialed into that is that you are involved in this environment. We call it immersion, where you get immersed in positivity and success. And pretty soon you start thinking differently. And what's great about our platform from a management perspective is you can actually scale to all of your salespeople from around the world, get the same training at the same time, and they're giving the same message. And you can actually test them, monitor them, and they have accountability, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. So that's the value, is that the value from the sales professionals having a location where they can get charged up, they can get reminded of things they are doing, and it's incredible. And people, their sales go up all the time when they listen, when they're in the platform.
It would be hard not to, unless you sat and listened to it and fought the whole time, right? Against it. Because I just know, as a friend of yours, when I talk to you, I'm always inspired and ready to take on my challenges throughout the day. I train to overcome adversity.
Right.
I know we have very similar mindsets in that regard.
Right.
And when you're establishing a quota for yourself, what's the philosophy behind that?
You know, my philosophy is I just go out and I just, it sounds really corny.
I like corny.
But I just do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, whoa.
Oh, you're right. That did sound corny.
You know.
I'm just kidding.
So, you know, it's like, if there was a number out there, that's my number. And so I kind of reverse engineer everything.
Yeah.
How do I get there? And so the only way I know how to do it is I go back to my college basketball days, which I always talk to you about. And the way
we were on the same team, in case you were wondering.
we won 2 straight national titles, which you know is very difficult to do. And the reason why we did that is we were practicing the fundamentals every single day. You know, we'd run the same drills, the same thing every single day. So we got to practice. We didn't have to think about when someone went backdoor. Where was the rotation? Everybody knew.
Right.
Same thing in life. If you're building, if you're doing the foundations every single day, starting with your mindset.
Yep.
I mean, that's where it all starts. And so you can say all the things you want. Oh, I'm a goal setter. And oh, I'm a great closer. But if you don't have the ability to wake up every day and operate at full speed because your mindset's not right, then you have no chance to win. So the first thing I do, it's always understanding that my mindset is most important because it drives the behavior and the activity drives the sales. So that's the key for me. It's like, I don't, whatever the number is, I'm going to hit it, because it gets down to your mindset and then what you're doing every single day.
And every time in my life that I've established a goal, it doesn't matter if it's a monetary goal or, you know, something I'm trying to accomplish, I've always gone above that goal.
Right.
Which is an indicator that I might not be reaching high enough. Right?
Right.
But then every time I don't hit the goal, it's that I didn't really establish the goal in the first place.
Right. Right. It was more like a concept. Like, I'd really like to do this.
Yes. And I didn't declare it to myself and hold myself accountable to it.
Yep.
But there's a really specific action that needs to take place as a salesperson to look at that, to help manifest it and to be that magnet that attracts new opportunities.
Right.
That
right.
starts up here.
Starts up here. I mean, I hired a sales guy years ago, very talented sales guy. And, you know, I'd call him up and say, hey, what's happening today? You know, oh, well, I'm getting ready to get ready. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to get my call sheet together. I mean, I'm getting ready to, I'm just getting organized so I can, you know, get the sales process going. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's great and all. But what really drives it is, you know, when the rubber meets the road is when the phone calls start to happen. Mm-hmm. All that other stuff is just like conceptual, right? What happens is when you start dialing the phone or you start making the calls in person or you're hitting people on LinkedIn or whatever your strategy is, nothing happens until you actually do it.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty for a second. Rejection is something that keeps salespeople from really accomplishing their big goals.
Absolutely.
Right? It can be devastating to some people.
Absolutely.
And in some places in life, it is very much like the rejection that a guy would experience going up and talking to a girl. I had a friend that said to me once, he goes, man, I got rejected so hard last week and I'm probably not going to talk to another girl for 30 days. And I was like, oh no, that's all wrong. But
ouch.
In sales, salespeople get rejected all the time.
Right.
How do they pick themselves up, move on, and plug ahead?
You know, there's a lot of ways you can go with this. You know, the first thing is, again, understanding with the mindset is that a rejection is part of the sales process. I mean, we all know intellectually that you're not going to make a phone call or walk in and shake a hand and make a sale every single time.
Right.
So it's part of the deal. You know, it's like success, failure is part of the success process. The better you are at sales, the more times you have to get rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is, the better you get, the less often you get rejected. But
right.
it's really setting up the game to win. You know, if you're going to go out and play a game,
right.
you need to understand that every time I ask a question, probably six or seven of those times, I'm going to hear no.
Right.
And so, you know, when my old mentor years ago, Brian Tracy, used to break it down into how many dollars you're making.
Right.
He'd break it into cold calls. And so if, you know, it took you X amount of calls to make a sale, he'd break it down to how many calls that was, and someone would say no on the phone, and he'd hang up and go, thank you for the $75.
Yeah, right.
Because
on.
That was his, because it was one step closer, right. Because his, if he made $1,000 every time he made a sale, it took him 10 calls, every call was worth $100.
You have to go through no to get to yes.
It's part of the sales process.
Right? And in baseball, the greatest hitter of all time, Pete Rose, knew that he had to get out 7 times out of 10 to make it to, well, what would have been the Hall of Fame. That's a bad analogy I was going to, right? For the one person.
Pete's didn't in work. His own Hall of Fame.
There's a great commercial from Skechers where he's walking in the hall and he's looking at plaques and everything, and all of a sudden his wife sticks her head out and she goes, Pete, what are you doing in the hall? And the camera pans out and you realize that Pete's actually in his hallway at his home.
Right.
She goes, you know you're not allowed in the hall. It's a great ad.
That's
right?
Fantastic.
But you have to mentally prepare yourself for no, be somewhat resilient,
right.
Learn from no.
Right.
Because that's where all the lessons are.
Right.
Right.
I mean, even if you didn't learn from no, even if you knew that I'm going to get turned down 7 out of 10 times, at least you're not going to get set back. I mean, yes,
right.
we want to learn from no, but even if you didn't,
yeah,
if you're moving on and that number 8 boom, you're hitting a sale. And then so, guess what happens? You start to feel great.
in our line of work, Dan, in the interest of full disclosure, you know, we're now at this point where we're recognizing projects that we really want and projects we don't want.
Right.
And we're getting really smart at turning down the ones we don't want.
Right.
And then keying in on the ones we want. And that's happens in sales all the time. I think it's just a stage in the evolution of a company or in a salesperson to recognize which projects are profitable and which ones aren't.
Right.
How does a salesperson go through the it's really about the reps that they need on a daily basis.
Yep.
What are some guidance that you would give on accelerating the learning process through those reps?
Wow. You know, great question. And the answer is, I don't think there's a shortcut.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, I think that the more reps you get, the better you get.
Okay.
End of story. So even if you're not great at making adjustments, the more times you do it, the better you're going to get. End of story. You know, I'm a keynote speaker, if you will. 90% of my revenue comes from keynote talks.
Right.
And the reason that I'm good at it is I've done so many of them, you know, I mean, thousands. When I was working with Tony Robbins, I was doing 2 and 3 a day for 6 years. They did over 2,400 talks in 6 years live. And so then when I left, then I'm doing my own business. So I'm sure I've done 3,500 talks. And so I'm not wondering what's going to happen next. If I'm doing a keynote talk and the fire comes on, I mean, the fire drill or the fire bell comes on or the PowerPoint goes off, I'm still rolling because I've done it before.
Right.
Because I've had a rep.
You can handle a few curveballs.
Curveballs. The UPS man coming through. I mean, it's all been there. So, but when you don't have the reps, you don't know where to go. And that causes uncertainty, Todd. And that's the problem. When you're uncertain, then you're hesitant and you don't perform as well as you could. But you don't get the certainty until you get enough reps.
Interesting. I believe all of that. Couple things that came to mind. I've had the opportunity to see you speak. You're really good at it.
Thank you.
You're in a class among few people.
Thank you.
And it is so exciting for me to watch somebody who knows what they're doing. And I'm always asking you questions about how you do certain things that I would never venture to do in front of a live audience. And I'm inspired by, you know exactly what it is. Everybody's excited in Dan's room. And I love that. And I think it's really about going through it enough times, learning, polishing, and perfecting that same thing that you learned from the stage and have been able to build over years, salespeople can do in sales meetings. I don't necessarily mean talking from the stage, but getting enough reps, learning from what works, what doesn't, and then optimizing the process.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you could call that best practices or whatever, but you know, I kind of back to your original question or the question before this about, is there a way to shorten the process? And I guess the answer is yes. It's about really taking a look at what's going on and asking yourself questions like, how, if I'm in with you in a sales room saying, how can I use what Todd just said to enhance what I'm doing? How can I use what Todd just said to shorten my sales process?
Yes.
So yes, you're doing the reps, grabbing best practices from others, putting them in your own presentation or your sales pitch, getting the feedback, making the adjustment, going out and get another rep. Yep. And then pretty soon you polish that presentation to where you're what I call bulletproof.
Yep.
Where you can handle any objection, you know where you're going, you're commanding the conversation by the questions that you ask.
And comfortable no matter where it goes, just like you on the stage. You know, if I walked you through my pitch deck,
yes,
I have about 120 slides.
That's a lot.
But nobody sees all of them.
Right.
They might see 15 of them, but I've got a case study for every scenario.
Yep.
I've got proof that we've done certain, everything that we're going to talk about. And then I've got one for business to business and one for business to direct to consumer. And depending on what is in the customer's mind, those are the plays that I run.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And now I've got this, I'm training, as I mentioned. And so what I'm really training them through is the full playbook.
Right.
And then recognizing, once you understand the full playbook, here's where to use these in different scenarios.
That's right.
And in my, I've got one of these new MacBook Pros that's got this slider bar across the top.
Sweet.
And the cool thing is I can be presenting to somebody and we're all looking at a screen and I could be sliding through my deck, which is my playbook, and grab the slide that's relevant to their random question that they asked out of context.
Right.
Pull up a slide, have that conversation, slide back, get right back to where I needed to.
That's powerful.
And yeah, and so the way I've discovered is almost any salesperson is at a disadvantage if they don't have this little stupid slide bar, because you can always stay within context, and they don't ever feel like you're jumping around.
Yeah, and in a sales live one-on-one sense, that would just be you knowing your content.
Right.
Going from one chunk to another.
Right.
You ask a different question, you pull it back in, answer the question, move on.
That's right.
So it's either that, and that's the power of reps. You have to know your material. You have to know what you're selling and who you are in order to make it a flowing situation.
If it's a more complicated sales process, a more complicated client, Marcus Krieg, who you know, yeah. Marcus is our director of strategy. He's also known affectionately on this podcast as the big nerd. And it's okay. You can laugh at it.
The big
it's
nerd.
True. Yeah. So Marcus and I play this role where one of us is leading and the other one is sweeping up.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So like if you and I were in the room and I'm leading, I'm going to go through and then that other person's going to have the ear for either what I didn't explain completely.
Yep.
Or something that the client might be looking for that maybe I didn't address.
Right.
And we just sweep up after each other.
Right.
And that works really well. And we've had so many reps in 6 years together.
Right.
That we're just all out there like playing a give and go
right.
in a basketball game.
That's right. You've got it down, your teamwork, you know what's going on, you know the other person. That's powerful.
Well, and then the other day we were in there, and I don't know if Marcus was irritated with me or what, but I did a little maybe 30-second intro, and then he just took it and ran the rest of the thing, and I was like, I don't even need to be here. Now, that's powerful.
That's powerful.
Right?
That's right.
All right, so where do you go next? I know you're speaking all over the place. Drop some cities.
Oh, well. My schedule is, I don't even know my schedule, but I do know we're having a big event in Las Vegas on November 8th at the International Theater at the Westgate Resort. That's where Elvis did his thing
right
back
on.
In the 70s, 80s. So we've got that venue, that magical venue, and it's myself and the real Brad Lee, from the CEO from Lightspeed VT,
yep.
who went from homeless to driving $50 million in revenue. And we've got 1,500 people in there. We're going to talk about really how to change your mindset mm-hmm. and change your life, whether you're in sales, leadership, or you're a mother or a father or a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about how do you get to where you want to go. So that's changeyourlife.vegas mm-hmm. is how you go to that, changeyourlife.vegas. And I'm hoping you and Wendy will be there, Todd.
It would be wonderful. It would be wonderful. You know, Dan Lear is, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but I think you're the most requested keynote speaker in Las Vegas.
No question.
And I know the Flying Elvises compete in that, but they're not anywhere as booked as you are. But it's always a treat to get to spend a few moments getting fired up from the wisdom of Dan Lear. If you want to get more information on Dan, make sure you go to either danlear.com, we'll put that on the screen for you, or crushyourquota.com, a fabulous place to get started to generate the right mindset to be a salesperson that's a top performer. Dan Lear, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Always great. All right, obviously a great episode with Dan Lear. If you want to learn how to guarantee that your videos generate a return on investment, which to me, as a marketer, I think it's malpractice to be creating videos that don't align with revenue generation. But if you want to figure out how to do it, well, I've put all of my secrets out on the web. You can get access to my 5-part web-based mini course at wirebuzz.com/ROI. It is just that easy. It's a 5-part web-based mini course. And if this podcast was valuable to you, and Lord knows it had to be, go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Hit the subscribe button. Leave a really honest rating and review. That's how we learn, polish, and perfect. And I will continue to do my part. Behind the scenes, bring you the latest information in video, in sales, in marketing, and events, so you can be a video marketing master inside of your office. Peace.